listening to Vet Candy.
You are listening to Vet Candy Magazine, Special Edition Diabetes. This program is brought to you by Merck Animal Health. Welcome to the World of Vet Candy by Dr. Jill Lopez. Has anyone ever told you that you weren't good enough? I asked a former colleague this question many years ago, and she told me that her guidance counselor in high school suggested that she should forget about college and go to vocational school instead. Thank goodness she didn't take his advice. Not only did she go to college and vet school, she completed a PhD in pathology and later became board certified in another specialty. My colleague had gumption. One of the traits that I admire most is gumption. Gumption is what makes you ignore those that say you can't do something when you know in your heart that you can. Gumption makes us strive harder and push forward when we are faced with challenges. In this issue, we introduce you to another friend of mine who has a lot of gumption, Dr. Lily Davis. Growing up in poverty, she was often told that she wasn't good enough. Despite having limited resources, Dr. Lily's courage and resolve helped her overcome her circumstances and rise to become the success she is today. I would like to thank my assistant editor, Shannon Gregoire, and our team of amazing writers. I hope you enjoy reading this issue as much as we have had creating it. Dr. Lily Davis on Owning Your Feelings and Fighting for What's Right by A.M. Kuska. Regular veterinary care is an essential part of keeping pets healthy. If a beloved animal develops cancer, worried owners may well turn to Dr. Lily Davis for answers. Dr. Davis is a board-certified veterinary oncologist and has a special interest in fostering the human-animal bond, as well as supporting caregivers of pets with cancer. Dr. Davis had a very rough start in life. Due to the precarious position her mother found herself in, her mother considered having an abortion when she found out she was pregnant. Luckily, her grandmother stepped in and convinced Dr. Davis's mother to keep her. She is profoundly grateful for that choice to this day. Life in a bad neighborhood filled with violence toughened her mind and made her more determined than ever to succeed in life. She realized that medical care for animals existed at around 13 years of age and became determined to attend Cornell University in order to pursue that dream. She did it. She became the first person in her family to attend college, the first to become a doctor. She published scientific papers while she was still attending university and became certified by the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine, Oncology, in 2018. Dr. Davis, like many veterinarians, is very concerned about the mental state of those in the profession. The suicide rate for veterinarians is at an all-time high, and she worries that the pandemic is only going to make that worse. She believes that mental hygiene should be taught in veterinary school right alongside anatomy and medicine. This is especially the case since those who apply to and get into veterinary medicine tend to be A-type personalities who don't cope as well as some others when it comes to mental stress. The people who tend to become veterinarians are perfectionists, go-getters, and constantly on the move. They have the grit to deal with the profession and the ability to pay attention to the tiniest details. These perfectionist tendencies have a downside, however. It's easy to fixate on mistakes or hard to let go of work when at home. Dr. Davis listens to music or works out to help clear her mind, but not every veterinarian or student knows what to do in order to cope. If this were taught in schools, it could help many veterinarians by giving them coping skills right off the bat. Dr. Davis is very passionate about the mental health of people and brings that to her work. Cancer can be a big shock for owners, and helping them cope with the stressful news as well as taking care of a cancer patient, is something she strives to do. Cancer is a complex disease, and every case is different. Dr. Davis makes it her goal to help every client and pet understand the cancer their dog has, then navigate treatment as well as grieve the loss of pets that can't be saved. Dealing with cancer can be a tough job, but Dr. Davis has the grit to keep going and the empathy to say the right thing at the right time for the people and pets she works with. You can stay up to date with Dr. Lily's journey by following her on LinkedIn. Sign up your patients for a free diabetes kit. Veterinary clinics have from September 1st to October 31st, 2021, to enroll in the Diabetes Pet Care Alliance program, which provides veterinarians with free diabetes education and management tools to give to owners of newly diagnosed diabetic pets. Clients whose pets are diagnosed between November 1st and December 31st, 2021, are eligible to receive the free kits. Clinics can enroll in the program by visiting usa.petdiabetesmonth.com. The opportunity to facilitate the long-term successful management of diabetes drove company partners Merck Animal Health, Purina, and Zoetis to form the Diabetes Pet Care Alliance program in 2014. The earlier pets are diagnosed with diabetes, the greater the likelihood they can receive a positive prognosis for this chronic disease. The goal of the Diabetes Pet Care Alliance program is to raise awareness of pet diabetes among owners and facilitate the screening of at least 2,000 pets during the month of November, which is Pet Diabetes Month. Program helps clients gain confidence in diabetes management. The need to raise awareness of the importance of diabetes screening and to minimize fears about the disease's manageability is real. It's estimated that 1 in 300 adult dogs and 1 in 230 cats in the United States have diabetes. Yet, while diabetes diagnoses are on the rise, increasing by 79.7% in dogs and 18.1% in cats since 2006, only two-thirds of cat owners and half of dog owners are satisfied with diabetic control in their pets. Through the Diabetes Pet Care Alliance program, veterinarians provide free kits to clients whose pets are diagnosed with diabetes to help familiarize them with what they need to do to manage their pet's condition and jumpstart the process. Program kits include 1 AlphaTrack 2 blood glucose monitoring system from Zoetis, 1 6-pound bag of Purina ProPlan Veterinary Diets DM Dietetic Management Feline Formula for cats, or Purina ProPlan Veterinary Diets EN Gastroenteric Fiber Balance Dry Formula for dogs, 1 10-milliliter vial of Vetsilin Porcine Insulin Zinc Suspension from Merck Animal Health. Veterinarians can enroll in or learn more about the program by visiting usa.petdiabetesmonth.com.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vetsilin is with you for life. Vetsilin Porcine Insulin Zinc Suspension is the first veterinary insulin approved for both dogs and cats. Vetsilin is also the first to offer you a choice on how it's administered, insulin pen or syringe. For more than 25 years, Vetsilin has been helping keep diabetic pets regulated. Check out Vetsilin.com for more information. Important safety information. Vetsilin should not be used in dogs or cats known to have a systemic allergy to pork or pork products. Vetsilin is contraindicated during periods of hypoglycemia. Keep out of reach of children. As with all insulin products, careful patient monitoring for hypoglycemia and hyperglycemia is essential to attain and maintain adequate glycemic control and prevent associated complications. Overdosage can result in profound hypoglycemia and death. The safety and effectiveness of Vetsilin in puppies and kittens, breeding, pregnant, and lactating dogs and cats has not been evaluated. See package insert for full information regarding contraindications, warnings, and precautions.
to Eat Healthy on a Budget by A.M. Kuska. It's no secret that fruits and vegetables are the key to a healthier lifestyle. A lack of fruits and veggies is associated with a number of different diseases, including type 2 diabetes and obesity. Unfortunately, fresh fruits and vegetables often hit people in the wallet and prices them off healthy eating. If you're a poor college student or struggling to make ends meet, you may be wondering how you can get more healthy foods in your diet while still adopting that healthy lifestyle. Here are a couple of tips experts recommend. Plan your meals. As much as 50% of food gets wasted. This is industry-wide, but it's no secret that a significant amount of food in the fridge goes to waste as well. Plan your meals carefully so that your food stays fresh and you use all of it. If you're careful to avoid food waste, you'll cut costs by not throwing away your hard-earned cash. Buy in season. Tomatoes are more expensive in the winter because they have to either be imported from across the globe or grown in a hothouse. It costs more to ship produce in this way, which means you'll pay more during these times. Take advantage of sales. Sometimes frozen or canned fruits and vegetables go on sale. When this happens, buy as much as you can and use them until the next sale. Frozen, canned, and dried vegetables are all great options for long-term storage and won't go bad quickly like fresh fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables can be expensive, but if you plan ahead, you can end up saving money while still being healthy. If you've wanted to adopt a healthier lifestyle but couldn't afford it, these smart tips can really help you save. Diabetes in dogs may indicate an elevated risk of type 2 diabetes in their owners. Owners of a dog with diabetes are more likely to develop type 2 diabetes than owners of a dog without diabetes. No shared risk of diabetes could be detected for cat owners and their cats. These novel findings from a register-based study conducted at Uppsala University in collaboration with three other universities have now been published in the BMJ. Previous studies have reported a possible association between adiposity in dog owners and their dogs. However, could there also be a shared risk of diabetes for pet owners and their dogs and cats? Researchers at Uppsala University, the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences, Karolinska Institute, and the University of Liverpool have now together investigated this matter in a large cohort study. Combining a Swedish veterinary insurance register with Swedish population and health registers, the researchers could extract information on pet owners residing in Sweden. More than 175,000 dog owners and nearly 90,000 cat owners and their dogs and cats were included in the study. The dog and cat owners were all middle-aged or older at the start of the study and were followed up to 6 years. The researchers then analyzed the incidence of type 2 diabetes in the pet owners and of canine and feline diabetes in the dogs and cats. The main finding was that compared with owning a dog without diabetes, owning a dog with diabetes was associated with a 38% increased risk of type 2 diabetes. No such shared risk of diabetes could be detected in cat owners and their cats. The elevated risk for dog owners could not be explained by the age, sex, or socioeconomic circumstances of the owners, nor by the age, sex, or breed of the dogs. Our results indicate that a dog with diabetes in the household might signal an increased risk of the dog owner developing type 2 diabetes as well. We have not had access to information about household lifestyle behaviors, but we think the association might be due to shared physical activity patterns and possibly also shared dietary habits, as well as shared risk of adiposity. If shared exercise habits are indeed a key factor, it might further help explain why we don't see any shared diabetes risk in cat owners and their cats, says Beatrice Kennedy, a postdoctoral research fellow in medical epidemiology at Uppsala University, one of the senior authors of the study. Canine diabetes generally requires lifelong insulin therapy. Diabetes is more commonly diagnosed in older dogs and in females that have not been spayed during their prolonged diestrus phase. Diabetes in female dogs has also been linked to excessive weight and occurs more often in some Swedish hunting dog breeds. The frequency of spaying and relative popularity of different breeds vary across countries, meaning the shared diabetes risk observed in this study may therefore not be applicable to other parts of the world with different dog ownership practices. How social media impacts your well-being. New research from UBC Okanagan indicates that what's most important for overall happiness is how a person uses social media. Derek Wirtz, an associate professor of teaching in psychology at the Irving K. Barber Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences, took a close look at how people use three major social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and how that use can impact a person's overall well-being. Social network sites are an integral part of everyday life for many people around the world, says Wirtz. Every day, billions of people interact with social media. Yet the widespread use of social network sites stands in sharp contrast to a comparatively small body of research on how this use impacts a person's happiness. Even before COVID-19 and self-isolation became standard practice, Wirtz says social media has transformed how we interact with others. Face-to-face, in-person contact is now matched or exceeded by online social interactions as the primary way people connect. While most people gain happiness from interacting with others face-to-face, Wirtz notes that some come away from using social media with a feeling of negativity for a variety of reasons. One issue is social comparison. Participants in Wirtz's study said the more they compared themselves to others while using social media, the less happy they felt. Viewing images and updates that selectively portray others positively may lead social media users to underestimate how much others actually experience negative emotions and lead people to conclude that their own life, with its mix of positive and negative feelings, is, by comparison, not as good, he says. Wirtz notes that viewing other people's posts and images while not interacting with them lends itself to comparison without the mood-boosting benefits that ordinarily follow social contact, undermining well-being and reducing self-esteem. Passive use, scrolling through others' posts and updates, involves little person-to-person reciprocal interaction, while providing ample opportunity for upward comparison. As part of his research, study participants were asked about four specific functions of Facebook: checking a newsfeed, messaging, catching up on world news, and posting status or picture updates. The most frequently used function was passively checking one's newsfeed. Participants primarily used Facebook without directly connecting with other users. The negative effects on subjective well-being were consistent with this form of use. During COVID-19, Wirtz noted people naturally turned to social media to reduce feelings of social isolation. Yet his research, conducted before the pandemic, found that although people used social media more when they were lonely, time spent on social media only increased feelings of loneliness for participants in the study. Today, the necessity of seeing and hearing friends and family only through social media due to COVID-19 might serve as a reminder of missed opportunities to spend time together. The more people used any of these three social media sites, the more negative they reported feeling afterwards. The three social network sites examined, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, yield remarkably convergent findings, he says. The more respondents had recently used these sites, either in aggregate or individually, the more negative effect they reported when they responded to our randomly timed surveys over a 10-day period. Wirtz's study also included offline interactions with others, either face-to-face or via phone call. Comparing both offline communication with online, he was able to demonstrate that offline social interaction had precisely the opposite effect of using social media, strongly enhancing emotional well-being. But all is not lost, Wirtz says, as this research also reveals how people can use social media positively, something more important than ever during COVID-19. He suggests people avoid passively scrolling and resist comparing themselves to other social media users. He also says people should use social media sites to enable direct interactions and social connectedness. For example, talking online synchronously, or arranging time spent with others in person, when possible and with proper precautions. If we all remember to do that, the negative impact of social media use could be reduced, and social network sites could even have the potential to improve our well-being and happiness, he adds. In other words, we need to remember how we use social media has the potential to shape the effects on our day-to-day happiness. Washington State University vets put cat back on track. A rare brain surgery performed by Washington State University veterinarians is giving one retired Japanese show cat a chance at a longer life, free of diabetes. That cat is Honeybee, a 10-year-old purebred Maine Coon. Some say she looks more like a miniature bobcat. Honeybee was admitted earlier this month at WSU's Veterinary Teaching Hospital with a pituitary gland tumor at the base of her brain. Honeybee's health troubles started in November when she was losing hair, as well as peeing and drinking excessively. She was later diagnosed with diabetes mellitus, a condition when blood sugar levels are high and not enough insulin is produced to regulate those blood sugar levels. However, she required a dose of insulin more than 20 times the regular dose. Like many pituitary tumors, this tumor was secreting too much growth hormone, which was counteracting the insulin, said Tina Owen, pituitary surgical specialist who leads WSU's pituitary surgery service. With the tumor removed, we hope over time, Honeybee will require very little to no insulin and potentially be cured of her diabetes mellitus.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Did you know that November is Pet Diabetes Month? To celebrate, Merck Animal Health teamed up with Purina and Zoetis for the Diabetes Pet Care Alliance program. Through this program, veterinarians can sign up for free diabetes management kits for their newly diagnosed pets, including a 10-milliliter vial of Vetsulin. Clinics can enroll between September 1st and October 31st, 2021. To enroll or learn more, veterinarians can visit usa.petdiabetesmonth.com.
Don't miss out on these horse riding adventures by Giselle Lopez. Combining breathtaking views in nature and communion with our bestial friends, horseback riding adventures have a way of allowing us to feel ourselves within the grand animal kingdom and how we meld and grow together. Take off with your galloping steed and prance your way into the sunlight, the open air, the magic. Make as much as you like with these three objects of our attention. Horseback riding in the Bridger-Teton National Forest. Scenic views from all angles of the valley with a picturesque mountain backdrop characterize this ride through Jackson Hole in the Bridger-Teton National Forest. Enjoy leaving from Moran that resides about 35 miles from Jackson. The land, blanketed with aspen trees and pristine views, are a refreshing break from the norm. Horseback riding, Jeep tour, and wine tasting from Sedona. If thoughts of riding a horse through the backdrop of the Grand Canyon set your heart aflame, and you want the added bonus of wine tasting and touring the area on a Jeep, then you should definitely visit the Jeep Tour Horseback Riding and Wine Tasting from Sedona. Take in an area of the United States that is known for healing and spiritual renewal by the Native American population. Horseback riding on the Oregon Trail from Eagle Crest Resort. Last but not least, my personal favorite on the list is the pure enjoyment of adventure, historical significance, and an air of the romantic is taking off on the Oregon Trail and galloping resolutely through the landscape. Whether you are interested in a pony ride for the young ones or to go on a scenic 1.5-hour loop throughout a winding desertscape, you'll get your fix of horseback riding bliss. These are but three of the most thrilling horseback rides out there in the U.S. Take your pick and saddle up. Influence of skin thickness on diabetic canine blood glucose testing. A flash glucose monitoring system has been validated for use in testing blood glucose levels in dogs with diabetic mellitus. This study aimed to see if skin thickness had a significant impact on the results of this test. A total of 14 diabetic-owned dogs on insulin were selected for this study, where on days 1, 7, and 14, glucose curves were performed using the flash glucose monitoring system and a validated portable glucose meter. The dogs were split into a thin skin and thick skin group, where the study found that the flash glucose monitoring system was highly accurate in thicker skin patients, but variable in thin skin patients. So in those patients, it should be interpreted with caution. Actress Reagan J. Pasternak releases memoir about pet loss. The culture of grief when it comes to our animal companions leaves many bereaved pet owners feeling lost and isolated. Too often, the expectation from friends and family is that the mourning period should last no more than a few days to weeks. However, the loss of an animal can be equally as devastating as a human loss. It's just that the support and resources for this brand of grief have been in short supply. In her debut book, Griffin's Heart, Mourning Your Pet with No Apologies, actress Reagan J. Pasternak, HBO's Sharp Objects, Netflix Hulu HBO's Being Erica, BET's Miss Pat, provides readers with interactive tools, healing exercises, and unwavering companionship to help them navigate their grief and honor the life of their beloved animal being. Readers are encouraged to explore their darkest feelings, make peace with them, and find meaning in their loss. Throughout the book, Reagan provides constant comfort by sharing insights from her own 10-year-long journey of healing. I started writing Griffin's Heart after the death of my soulmate animal, Griffin, as a way to help heal my wound and find meaning in my grief. Through this process, I began to understand that the crushing weight of my loss was not unique to me, and that for millions of people whose pets are their family, there was a need for a compassionate and insightful resource. This book is everything I wish I'd had after my Griffin died, and it's my hope that readers will find comfort, insight, companionship, and hope in the pages. Reagan J. Pasternak, author, Griffin's Heart. For 85 million households across the U.S., pets provide joy, companionship, and uncompromising love. When a pet dies, it can be devastating and isolating, especially during a pandemic. Griffin's Heart takes a new approach to healing in a hybrid format, part memoir, part journal, and part keepsake, and seeks to become the comprehensive resource for pet owners in grief. The book approaches the idea of grief from many angles, leveraging therapeutic ideas from psychology, philosophy, art, and world religions. Throughout the book, the reader is engaged to participate by examining their emotions, journaling their thoughts, documenting memories, placing photos, and more. By the end of the book, the reader will have created a personalized keepsake to commemorate their beloved animal that can be revisited for years to come. Griffin's Heart is an invaluable resource for anyone suffering from the pain of pet loss. Reagan Pasternak has written a beautiful, easy-to-read book to support those who are experiencing grief. Interspersed with her own story, she offers tools, resources, and journaling exercises to help readers release their pain and soothe their heart. Full of compassion and heartfelt wisdom, this book is a must-have for animal lovers who are looking for support and healing. Tamara Levitt, head of mindfulness at Calm and author of The Secret to Clara's Calm and Happiness Doesn't Come from Headstands. With Griffin's Heart, author Reagan J. Pasternak seeks to change the culture of grief around mourning animals. Those in grief and anyone seeking help after the loss of a beloved pet can now turn to Griffin's Heart and embrace an uncompromising, unapologetic, and honest approach to healing. The specially curated volume has been created using ethically sourced FSC-certified materials and comes elegantly bound in hardcover and packaged with a gold foil stamped slipcase. A portion of the book proceeds are donated to various animal charities. For more information, visit griffinsheart.com. Time for some self-care with Dr. Jessica Turner. When it comes to caring for others, most of us do a very good job. Whether we comfort a child or reassure our coworker, being compassionate to others is easy. However, one person you probably aren't taking care of is yourself. That's why Vet Candy teamed up with Merck Animal Health to bring you the best of living well with Dr. Jessica, a guide to self-care and healthy living. This digital book is full of great tips and advice from some of the coolest people on the planet. And what's even better? This book is RACE and New York State approved for veterinary continuing education. Just check the back cover for details. Self-compassion is critical to getting the most out of life. Check out Living Well with Dr. Jessica on MyVetCandy.com and start taking better care of yourself today. Psst! Have you heard that gossip isn't all bad? Gossip is often considered socially taboo and dismissed for its negative tone, but a Dartmouth study illustrates some of its merits. Gossip facilitates social connection and enables learning about the world indirectly through other people's experiences. Gossip is not necessarily spreading rumors or saying bad things about other people, but can include small talk in person or online, such as having a private chat during a Zoom meeting. Prior research has found that approximately 14% of people's daily conversations are gossip and primarily neutral in tone. Gossip is a complex form of communication that is often misunderstood, says Eshin Jolly, a postdoctoral researcher in the Computational Social Affective Neuroscience Laboratory, COSAN, who co-authored the study with Luke Chang, an assistant professor of psychological and brain sciences and director of the COSAN lab at Dartmouth. It can be a means of social and substantive connection beyond its typical negative connotation, adds Jolly. Jolly and Chang were curious while people in their personal and professional lives spend so much time exchanging information about themselves and other people, and sought to determine why people gossip and what function it serves. They created a game online to examine the role of gossip and how it manifests as information becomes more uncertain within the game. Participants played 10 rounds of the game together in six-person groups. In each round, players were given $10 and could choose to keep the money or invest any portion of it into a group fund that was multiplied 1.5 times and divided equally among the players. The game creates an inherent tension between selfish free riding and cooperative behavior, and is considered what researchers refer to as a public goods game. In some conditions, information was restricted so that participants could only observe the behavior of a few other players in their group. Our inspiration was creating a lifelike scenario in which you're a member of a community and affected by the actions of all other community members, but most of whom you rarely observe and engage with directly, Jolly explained. In some games, players could privately chat with another player in the group. This allowed players to relay information about other players' behavior to their partner, such as whether another player was free riding. Afterwards, players reported their willingness to play with each player again. Published in Current Biology, their findings demonstrate how gossip is a rich, multifaceted communication with several social functions. Different types of gossip emerged depending on the amount of information available. Spontaneous conversation about others occurred more frequently during games when players could only observe the behavior of a few of their group members. When players could directly observe all of their group members, they tended to chit-chat and discuss a wider array of topics. Participants relied on secondhand information from their partners to stay informed about other people's behavior that they could not see, illustrating how gossip enables individuals to learn from the experiences of others when direct observation is not feasible. The findings also show that participants who chatted with each other felt the most connected with each other at the end of the game, and even shared similar impressions of the other players in their group. Chang explains that by exchanging information with others, gossip is a way of forming relationships. It involves trust and facilitates a social bond that is reinforced as further communication takes place. In a typical public goods game, players contribute less over time and an unraveling effect occurs that propagates through a network of people. However, in this study, cooperation declined less over time when players could privately communicate. Communication increased collective cooperation. The researchers explained that gossip should not be relegated to just baseless trash talk. According to the paper, the team's findings on the role of gossip are consistent with creating a shared reality, in which friends and colleagues often find common bonds, establish alliances, exchange personal information, and discuss the behavior of others to establish a consensus of socially acceptable behavior. Gossip can be useful because it helps people learn through the experiences of others, while enabling them to become closer to each other in the process, says Jolly. Study examines why pet owners choose grain-free food. Keto, gluten-free, organic. If a pet owner is on a specific diet, chances are their dog is on it too, a new U of G study reveals. But when it comes to a grain-free diet, owners seem to choose it more for their dogs than themselves, the study also found. It demonstrates that many variables, not just dietary habits, influence the selection of dog food, said study lead author Sydney Banton, a master's student in U of G's Department of Animal Biosciences. The International Pet Food Consumer Habits Survey is the first of its kind to examine factors involved in pet owners choosing grain-free dog food in both Europe and North America. It has just been published in PLOS 1. The study found dog owners who are on gluten-free, organic, or grain-free diets are likely to look for the same characteristics in the dry dog food they purchase. Feeding their dog grain-free pet food was common among pet owners who prefer premium food, avoid grains or processed foods, follow vegetarian, vegan, or ketogenic diets, or have strict diet routines. Grain-free brands make up more than 40% of dry dog foods available in the U.S., said Banton, who co-authored the study with pet nutrition and pet food expert Dr. Anna Kate Shovler. Animal Biosciences, with help from Dr. Mike Von Massow, Department of Food, Agricultural, and Resource Economics. We wanted to identify the variables that predict why dog owners choose grain-free food for their pet. The research was supported through an agreement between the university and Montreal-based Rolf C. Hagen Group, the world's largest privately owned multinational pet products manufacturer and distributor. Researchers surveyed 3,300 pet owners from Canada, the U.S., Germany, France, and the U.K. Participants were asked where they get their information about dog food, where they buy it, and the most important factors in their choices. Just over 21% said they look for no grain as an attribute that influences their purchase. Dog owners in Germany showed the highest preference for grain-free dog food at 30%, followed by 27% in the U.S., 22% in Canada, and 8% in France. Chavaler said the pet food industry is highly influenced by human trends and what pet owners believe about nutrition. Researchers focusing on pet food innovations for dogs and cats must consider consumer trends and try to supply the best food formulations for consumers' beliefs, she said. We felt to best understand the risks associated with feeding a pet food formula without grains and with legumes, we should understand the consumers that choose that food and whether they do anything else that may put their dogs at risk for secondary metabolic disorders, such as dilated cardiomyopathy, DCM. A warning was issued in 2018 by the United States Food and Drug Administration indicating grain-free dog food may be linked to the occurrence of secondary DCM. The agency continues to investigate the possible link between DCM and grain-free dog food in dogs not believed to be genetically prone to its occurrence. While some pet owners feed their dogs diets similar to their own, Banton said it is unclear why vegetarian or vegan pet owners would choose grain-free for their dog. While most European and North American food-based dietary guidelines recommend consuming whole grains as part of a healthy diet, grains are perceived as unhealthy for dogs by many pet owners, said Banton. This is happening despite there being no scientific evidence that grains are detrimental to the health of dogs. Marketing strategies in the pet industry may be influencing these attitudes. Research can provide a lot of scientific evidence for the development of pet foods, but it comes down to what the consumer decides, says Chavaler. They are the one making the choice at the pet store, she said. If we can understand fully how they make decisions, we are better able to bridge the gap in knowledge and assist them to make the right choices.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Show us your scary selfie to win incredible prizes!
This is Caitlin Palmer with the Desk Wench Confessions, and Halloween is my favorite time of year. This year, I'm celebrating with the Scary Selfie Contest. To enter, just take a scary selfie in your awesome Halloween costume and post it on Instagram. Tag @MyVetCandy, #ScarySelfie. Three lucky winners will win $100 Visa gift card. Visit MyVetCandy.com/scary for contest rules and regulations.
New Feline Senior Care Guidelines released. The American Association of Feline Practitioners, AAFP, has released the updated 2021 AAFP Feline Senior Care Guidelines to be published in the July issue of the Journal of Feline Medicine and Surgery. This update provides emerging advances in feline medicine with respect to the aging cat. Cats over 10 years of age are considered to be senior. Understanding the changing needs of each individual senior cat is critical for both veterinary professionals and cat owners. The guidelines address the importance of regular veterinary visits, which includes a minimum of every 6 months for senior cats 10 to 15 years old, in order to best track and manage health-related issues and detect disease early. Healthy senior cats over the age of 15 should be examined every 4 months. Cats with chronic health issues may need to be seen even more frequently, depending on the severity of the illness. Discussion is included on how quality of life and health-related quality of life impacts the aging cat. The guidelines also recognize the impact caring for an aging cat has on the cat owner. Veterinarians are encouraged to consider 4 budgets of care when making treatment plans: financial, time, emotional, and physical. The weight of each of these budgets will vary for each cat owner, and it is important to recognize this when having decision-making discussions. Depression and anxiety are more frequently diagnosed in women. Gender is a significant determining factor in mental health and in how it is managed by the healthcare services, according to recent studies conducted by this group and based on health questionnaires completed in the Basque Autonomous Community, 2018, and in Spain, 2017, and on the Spanish sample corresponding to the European Health Survey, 2014. What stands out in the analysis of these 3 databases is the higher prevalence of poor mental health among women of all ages and across all social groups. In addition, there is a multiplier effect due to the accumulation of experiences of inequality. This reality also appears to be unequal in terms of the age and socioeconomic level of the patients. The PhD holder in public health, Amaya Basigalupe, one of the authors of the study, asserts that women are more frequently diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and the taking of prescribed psychotropic drugs is also significantly higher. Even if there is no difference with men, with respect to mental health equality, diagnoses, and frequency of visits to healthcare centers. All this could point to the existence of a medicalization process of mental health in women. But interpreting its origin is complex, since the processes involving the high prevalence of diagnosis and overprescription undoubtedly play a role, but maybe also due to infradiagnosis and lower prescription rates in men. Basigalupe adds that these aspects should be tackled in greater depth in future studies. Reducing gender inequalities. The research group highlights the fact that reducing gender inequalities in mental health will need to be the result of policy intervention on various levels. There is a clear relationship between the degree of gender inequality in society and gender inequalities in mental health, says Amaya Basigalupe. So all those policies designed to combat the discrimination endured by women on the labor market, in the responsibility for domestic and care work, in the use of time, and generally relating to those that empower women on the basis of their greater political representation and making them more socially visible, will exert a positive effect on the reduction in mental inequalities between men and women. Another aspect highlighted in the study is the need to make commitments starting from an institutional level and geared towards curbing the medicalization of everyday malaise from a clear gender perspective. In the field of mental health, in which the medicalization of malaise is especially common, far from addressing the cause of the problem, some problems of a social origin end up receiving psychiatric or psychological treatment, said the researcher in the Department of Sociology 2 at the UPV and EHU. According to the study, it would also be necessary to encourage spaces for reflection in the clinical setting designed to help to collectively deconstruct certain aspects that have become natural in gender binarism and which have underpinned the definition of psychopathology and its current treatment. Bassigalupe also says that the actual incorporation into clinical practice of the biopsychosocial model, as well as the implementing of strategies to promote health and emotional well-being from a community health approach based on assets, could prevent the over-pathologization and over-medicalization of everyday malaise once a global view of how the social context influences health is acquired. 7 Ways to Master Your Mornings, Dr. Jessica Turner. Some of the most successful people claim that their morning routine helps set the tone for their day. Most of us like hitting the snooze button a few times each day. So how do you get started? Below, I've included several of my favorite tips to help you master your mornings and begin living the life you've always imagined. Get out of bed already! I know, this is easier said than done. The most helpful tip I've come across for avoiding the snooze is the 5-second rule by Mel Robbins. It can be applied to anything you tend to talk yourself out of, but getting up is by far the most common reason I recommend it. I simply count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then yell, "Get up!" at myself. I promise you, it works. Do not turn to electronics. Our brains are running 90 to nothing 24/7 because of the age of information we live in. One of the reasons we deal with such stress, anxiety, and depression nowadays is we never allow our minds to just be. Take 5 to 10 minutes to just sit in silence. Meditate, pray, breathe, be still. Speak life over your day. I start my day with positive affirmations that declare what I am working towards already being in existence. For example, I am a wonderful mother, loving and patient, present in my girls' lives. Get your mind right. In addition to the above mentioned, which will help with the state of your mind, personal development is a non-negotiable for me. Whether it's in the form of a few pages out of a book or listening to a motivational video off of YouTube while getting ready, I start my day with something positive and encouraging that will help me get through the not-so-great moments of the day moving forward. Break a sweat. Even 10 minutes of heart-pumping activity at the beginning of your day can have a significant impact on how you think and feel moving forward. The increased blood flow oxygenation helps your body and brain wake up, leading to a clearer mental state and the confidence boost that comes with consistent physical activity. Put your thoughts on paper. Another tip inspired by Mel Robbins is the brain dump. This has been a game changer for me, especially since I struggle with anxiety and the overwhelming feelings that can come with it. Before you start your day, or any time during it, write down anything that is floating around in your mind. Prioritize what is important and what isn't. Then pick 3 things that you would like to focus on accomplishing that day. Anything extra is bonus. Plan your week before it starts. This is a tip to help you maximize your time in the morning. Take 30 minutes to plan out your week ahead. Block off things that are constant, such as workouts, school drop-offs, etc., in colors that you can recognize at a glance. Then fill in the rest. This allows you to see how much time you have to accomplish the things you want to focus on. Track your progress. When first making changes to your morning routine, it can be downright hard. After all, these habits didn't pop up overnight, so you can't expect to break them overnight. Make a note of what time you got up, what you did with that time, and how you felt the rest of the day. Were you more productive? Calmer? Closer to the person you want to be? Celebrate that and keep on going. Thank you for listening to Vet Candy Magazine. Stay up to date with everything VetMed by following us at MyVetCandy.
It's Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.